The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Ireland Gateway to Europe have brought us along. We are delighted to be here. It is an absolutely great initiative and has been ongoing now for several years. We're going to give you a sense of what it is and how it works and its value to those who are travelling with the group in the next few minutes. Because joining me for a discussion, Audrey Carney, who's director with the HR company, Angela O'Grady, operations director with the HR company, and Conor Heaney, managing director with EMEA with CXC. You're all very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Great to see you all.
Sure.
Angela, tell us a little bit about the HR company.
Myself and Philip Carney set up the HR company in 2001. Both of us are ex-Microsoft. Currently, we have 30 staff and we're expanding. And we've recently opened an office in Lyon in France.
Oh, lovely. That's nice. That would be nice with a few of the work trips over to France.
Exactly, yeah. Not as good as the US ones.
So, Audrey, tell me about the services the company provides.
So we generally provide support for small to medium businesses, right? And it's like a virtual service for those that can't really afford a full-time HR personnel. It provides day-to-day HR advice, including how the process is meant to be covered off, dealing with employee issues, disciplinaries, investigations, and generally maybe sometimes like, you know, how to deal with sensitive topics. You know, there's been a lot of legislation come through in the last while about flexible working, and they need to be able to adapt. Employers need to be able to adapt and see how they're going to do that for their businesses as well. So we're a good sounding board for them to talk to.
So when you talk about those kind of changing practices at working from home and flexi and all that, that became, well, they existed before COVID, but became much more ubiquitous during COVID. Give us a sense of how dynamic the industry is, how much it changes.
So I think, well, first and foremost, they've just issued a new code of practice on it, right? So it's now something that our employees can actually request. So there's no longer going to be a straightforward, like, this is how we do our business. Employers are going to have to be able to adapt and move to the new times. So I don't think it's going to be straightforward of like, you work 9 to 5. For certain industries, obviously, that's give and take with certain industries. And there's a new way of adapting to that. I think as well, there's also going to be a bit more flexibility with those with like families and how to manage that flexibility for them as well.
Conor, tell me about CXC.
Sure, Kieran, and thanks for having us on the show. So we set up in Ireland in 2015. We set up our European headquarters in Dublin. And we help large organisations and medium-sized organisations compliantly pay people around the globe. So we've got 14 legal entities across Europe, 52 across the globe, and we manage and payroll around 15,000 independent workers across about 100 different countries. So it's a great business. We've grown it very fast in the last 9 years.
So what are you hoping, kind of through the CXC lens, to get out of a trip like this?
Well, I suppose it's the connections, right, Kieran? The Gateway to Europe group is phenomenal. You've got 40 or 50 business leaders from Ireland I'm wearing green today. We've literally, in some cases, put on the green jersey, right? We're here to sell Ireland, right? We're here to sell what we're about. And I suppose I'm hoping to come back with business opportunities. Our company works typically with Fortune 100 companies in the United States, and we help those companies expand into Europe via Ireland. So I think by last estimate, we work with about 80% of the Fortune 100. So we'd love to close that gap and work with 100% of the Fortune 100.
Angela, what do you hope the HR company? I mean, because you've been on the strip before.
We have indeed.
Kind of very central to it for some time now. So what do you get out of it? What have you in the past and what do you hope to continue to get out of it?
It's more brand awareness for us, kind of to raise the profile of the company. It's quite subtle. So the immediate advantages don't happen straight away. But then eventually stuff will drop and come to our door. So it's quite subtle. Yeah, because the whole purpose of the group is not to be too direct with the selling. So it's more very, very subtle, I have to say.
And the relationships then you were building in that regard, are they generally with other members of the delegation or are they with the kind of US companies that you're visiting and talking to? Or is it all of the above?
It would be both. And we recently signed a company. They're actually based here in Austin. So we're visiting them later on this afternoon. So we've quite a lot of US firms setting up in Ireland, yeah. And they would use our services for the HR compliance and, as Audrey said earlier, the advisory service.
Yeah, I mean, Conor, Austin's a really happening place, isn't it? I mean, on so many ways, I know you're all going kind of, you were kind of, you know, honky-tonk dancing in Austin and stuff. And But I was just really struck by the amount of huge tech companies have based themselves there and here in Boston. You know, it's all med tech and everything. You know what I mean? So there's just the great variety of opportunity as well.
Yeah, I agree with that, Kieran. I mean, you can sense it here. You can feel it, right? Anytime I come to the United States, which is frequent, not just Austin, you can sense the optimism, the energy, the ambition. And actually, that's really infectious, right? And we're really proud as Irish people to be over here rejecting our soft power. But it's tremendous. It's a tremendous place to be.
So when you were talking, Audrey, a little bit about, you know, kind of changes and, you know, some kind of happening naturally, some mandated through kind of codes of practice, as it were, how much is AI changing the industry and how much will it?
I definitely think there's going to be a big element of AI. I think, you know, you're going to have to deal with potentially employees using it in the wrong way and using it in the right way. And what are going to be like when it's done in the right way, it's brilliant. It makes every process efficient, all that kind of stuff, right? But if it's used in the wrong way or in the wrong hands, if you like, there will be repercussions for businesses, right? And then it's like, how do you deal with that from a HR perspective?
How difficult is it though to kind of work out what is the right and wrong way to do it when we kind of, I don't think, really understand exactly how it's going to impact industries yet?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. So I do think that there needs to be, while we're using AI, I think there has to be a full review of also when it's been implemented to make sure that it is meeting your quality markers along the way. Because if you don't do your quality check, I think you're going to be left with exposures.
And Connor, I mean, within your industry, I mean, that as you describe it, you know, that kind of that payroll side of the business, an awful lot of that, like AI, will complement that work, won't it?
It does. Listen, I'm really conflicted about AI, Kieran, as a business leader. I'm conflicted because I know we need to deploy it, right? We need to make our businesses much more effective and efficient, right? But where I'm concerned about AI is about its impact on jobs and specifically jobs displacement. And I'm quite skeptical about the societal impact actually in AI, because if you read the latest report from the World Economic Forum, what that's forecasting in the Western labour markets, right, the most advanced labour markets, is roughly that within 5 years, around 60% of jobs, 60% in 5 years, will be adversely affected by AI, right? And there's no solution in terms of the jobs that are going to be created. No one knows, right? So potentially, and this sounds quite dystopian, we're looking at a lot of jobs cuts, job displacements and unemployment. So it's quite scary.
Yeah, it's like, you know, people kind of cease to be farriers, but, you know, there was suddenly a garage you could work in.
Yes.
That transition isn't as clear.
Kieran, absolutely right. And a lot of the, what I would call the techno-optimists are saying, you know, it's just like the Industrial Revolution, you know, the farriers will move to some other job. But the fact is, those jobs aren't there, right? And the jobs that might be there are what could be described as the low choice, no choice jobs, which are pretty precarious.
And Anja, is it an issue that that has come up as part of this trip at all? You know, in terms of conversations, this AI kind of looming on the horizon.
There's a few different viewpoints on it, as Connor has said, and some straightforward, and I think some that definitely have to be explored further.
Are you a techno optimist? Or are you? Do you have this dystopian view of the future?
I don't really. I think you kind of have to go with it to a certain degree. Otherwise, you might be left behind. But to have it balanced it would be critical.
Yeah, like it's exciting, isn't it, Audrey? To a degree, and then at the same time, like to kind of echo upon Connor, mate, Fergal O'Rourke has now gone to the IDA. I read an interview. I did kind of an exit interview with the Business Post when he left. See, PwC, KPMG, is that one of them anyway? And he talked about the old pyramid structure kind of disappearing and it just being a cylinder.
Well, I don't see it being that. I think there's going to be a nice balance between the two. I think you may be able to get rid of some of the repetitive tasks that nobody likes doing anyway, or you put them to the end of the pile. You know, they get in the long finger. So that kind of stuff, I think, is definitely going to be looked at to see where you can improve efficiencies. You know, then people can look to get job satisfaction through other means as well, as opposed to having to do the daily administration or mundane tasks. It gives them the opportunity then to focus on the more exciting parts of the job.
I mean, Gateway to Europe, that mission statement has changed and evolved as well, hasn't it? You know, I talked about it earlier in the show when it was set up. It was very much about, you know, please come to Ireland and give us your jobs. We're kind of, the economy has has fallen over the edge. It's gone off the cliff. I mean, that's changed entirely. There's loads of people on this trip who are kind of like yourselves. You're visiting companies you've teamed up with or are working with here in the States. There's that transatlantic element now, isn't there?
Well, there certainly is, yeah, and certainly a lot of discussions with the IDA, which are very beneficial to us from, companies, as I said, setting up in Ireland from the US, their subsidiaries. So, because the Irish law is very different to the US law, and it's a lot more stricter what we can do or what we have to do in Ireland versus the US.
Well, listen, I hope you've all got something out of the trip thus far. I mean, you continue to get something out of it over the last few days. Are any of you staying on in Boston?
Yeah, I'm staying in Boston until Sunday, Kieran, and then I'm very privileged to be heading down to Miami for a week. I've got a bit of more of a trade mission there, so it's been a great trip.
We're stops.
It's really hard, as I said to my wife, but I don't know if she'll recognize me, Kieran, after this trip. I've probably put on a few pounds.
Listen, we wish you well with the trip and the onward trip down to Miami as well, Conor. Thanks a million for being with us. Conor Heaney is Managing Director, EMEA with CXC, Angela O'Grady, Operations Director with the HR company, and Audrey Carney, who is a director as well with the HR company.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.